Time now for the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Stay tuned to find out how you can become totally debt-free and retire with dignity and peace of mind. You can call Steve with your questions about debt or retirement right now at 1-800-732-6458. Now, here's Steve Barfield.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're all out there having a good afternoon. And as always, if you are driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. If you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. We had some good questions last week, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt, retirement, or money and how it relates to your lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the number is 800-732-6458. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. You know, my goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt. And I know that some of you are paying your bills and getting by, and some of you are hurting. In either case, it is so important that you become debt-free. You see, our country is in trouble financially, and I'm not just talking about government debt. I'm talking about our personal debt load. Let me explain the situation that we've gotten ourselves into. Let's look all the way back to 1954. If you added every penny that was owed that year, our national government debt, our local government debt, all corporate debt, plus all of our personal debt, including mortgages, it totaled up to be $585 billion. $585 billion. Now, I realize this is an enormous amount of money, and most of us, we cannot even comprehend how much this is. But if you think about it, if you were to take the Walmart family, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and a handful of other rich people, we could amass this much in personal wealth. So when you think of it like that, and compare it to all the debt that was owed in the entire United States of America, then $585 billion don't sound like quite as big of a number as it did when I first mentioned it. Now, where I'm going with this is so shocking that it hurts me to even have to talk about it on the radio. And you know, if it was just Teresa and I, we have lived a long life, and we can tough our way and work our way through most anything that can be thrown at us. But you see, we brought these kids in this world. We have 3 children and 8 grandchildren. And I know that you have children and grandchildren. And I know that you're just like us, that we would lay our lives down gladly for our children with no questions asked. And I know this sounds serious, and I know this sounds heavy, but our country is in bad financial shape. I'm going to start here with some numbers, some math, and I want you to try to realize just exactly what I'm talking about and just realize what kind of situation we're in and the vital importance for us to become debt-free. Do you have any idea how much $1 trillion is? Or actually, let's just use $1 trillion first. Let's use the number trillion. All right, $1 trillion has 12 zeros. That don't make much sense to us. But see, this number is so big that it seems almost impossible. If you look at $1 trillion in time, and when I say time, I'm talking about using seconds, not minutes or hours, seconds. If you snap your finger, that's a second. Now listen to this. 1 million seconds equals 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. So if you were 62 years old, you have lived for 2 billion seconds. Now guess how long 1 trillion seconds is. What would you think about 31,688 years? That is absolutely amazing to me. And when we look at how much 1 trillion is when we relate it to money, $1 trillion, to spend or pay back $1 trillion, it would take $1 million a day, 365 days a year, for 2,741 years, 741 years before Christ. I know this amount of money is just like it is to me. It's so hard for you to fathom. In fact, it's so hard that evidently our own government don't realize how much it is. Because if they did, they wouldn't continue to spend like they are. And I didn't mean to get off course on this, so I'm going to get back to the point. But our government needs to stop spending money. Now let's go back to the question of how important is it for all the citizens of this country to work on getting out of debt? Listen to this. You might need to pull over if you're driving or sit down if you're listening at home. As of year end 2009, we, the people, the consumers of the United States of America, owed on consumer debt, including mortgages, are you ready for this? $13.7 trillion. Let me say it one more time. $13.7 trillion with a T. Remember when I started this segment, I stated that in 1954, we owed, when I say we owed, I mean every dollar that was owed in the entire United States of America was $585 billion with a B. Government, personal, everything. Now, in just 54 short years, we have amassed $13.7 trillion of personal debt. For us to pay this back, it will take $1 million a day, 365 days a year, for 37,534 years to pay it back. That's right, 37,534 years. If I were to add the government debt totals to this, it would be so unbelievable that we just want to throw in the towel and give up. So let's just focus on what we can do. What we can do something about it ourselves. We the people, you and I, we can control our lives and we can become debt free. If we can just focus on our own lives, take care of our own responsibilities, we can make this happen. Now let me talk about debt for just a minute. I've been helping people get out of debt since 1994, and it amazes me to hear people say that I don't have any debt. And when I look at their information, they have a mortgage, a second mortgage, two car payments, and 11 credit cards. Now, this has happened to me dozens and dozens of times. I will ask the individual why they told me they didn't have any debt, and they respond back with something like this. Well, we really don't. We can pay our bills. We aren't behind. We really don't have any debt. This just blows me away because they think that they're not behind. If they're able to meet their monthly obligations, they honestly think that they don't have debt. Well, let me tell you what the definition of debt is. If you owe interest to anyone, you have debt. Now, some so-called experts, they will tell you that there is good debt and there is bad debt. I've never been able to figure this out. The math don't add up. People will also tell me that they're keeping their mortgage for the tax write-off. Once again, the math don't add up. It is imperative that you pay off everything that you own and do it as soon as you possibly can. Now let's begin to lay out a plan for you to become debt-free. You can build a plan on your own, or you can go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and build one there. But you will either be in one or two situations once you begin. You are either current on your debt obligations, or you're struggling like so many people are right now due to the economy and dishonest banks. So let's discuss the different scenarios. If you are current on your debts and are able to make the payments, even if it's tight, all you need to do is to commit to what you're currently spending each and every month to the goal of being debt-free. When one debt pays off, add that monthly payment to the next worst debt in line and do this as each debt is eliminated. And one by one, you'll see debts being eliminated. But if you have trouble doing this on your own, we have the tools available to assist you. Go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and look at all the tools and calculators that are there for you. Now, if you're not current, make some phone calls to the creditors and let them know that you are behind the eight ball and you would appreciate some assistance if at all possible. It is very important for you to let them know that you want to honor your financial commitments, but some things out of your control has happened. If you get someone on the phone who will not try to help lower the interest rates and possibly the payments, simply say goodbye and call back again. Do this over and over until you get someone who is willing to help. And if this fails after several attempts, then ask for a supervisor. Also, do not let any creditor bully you around and have you send them money. You must make your mortgage payment first and then your car payments. You must protect your family home and you must have a way to get to and from work. Now, if this winds up being your situation, just send a credit card company something every month, even if it's only $5 or $10. This shows them that you're willing to do all that you can do. Now, one more thing. Do not let a nonprofit credit counselor tell you not to make your house payment or your other payments for 3 months so that they can help you. Anyone who tells a potential customer not to honor their obligations is not honest and should be reported to the state that you live in. I have had numerous emails and phone calls about this lately, and it burns me up. Let me know if this happens or has happened to you, please. If you need assistance with creating your plan to become debt-free, let us know and we can assist you. Then once the plan is laid out, the next stage is to implement it and then to evaluate it as time passes. And remember, this can be as easy as pie, P-I-E. Let's take a short commercial break and then we'll begin taking phone calls.
With us now is Steve Barfield. Steve, good afternoon.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back. Thanks to Frank Burgess for running the board for the show. And very good opening monologue, Steve.
Consumer debt's killing us.
I know it is. And later on, we'll talk about consumer credit counseling. That's one thing we were talking about off the air a while ago. But we've got a call on the line right now. Let's see who this is. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I just had a quick question about a debit card.
Yes, ma'am.
I find that in our household, the majority of our problems come from using check cards. How do you... Is that something...
Well, that actually... let's talk about all this. First off, let's back up to the initial problem, and that is too much money being probably in one checking account in the first place, meaning that what I would like to see you do... What was your name, ma'am?
Dana.
What I'd like to see you do is to... And I want you to think about this, is open up another checking account. And
right.
And then all of your bills that are fixed, meaning bills that can be paid off... You would simply make a deposit each time you're paid to cover those bills. And what I mean by that is easy math. Let's say you have $4,000 coming in a month. You have $2,000 in fixed bills, and you're paid weekly. Then that means that out of every paycheck, you would put $500 into the Budget A account.
In your fixed account.
That would leave $2,000 in your non-fixed account, lifestyle account. Okay, now...
Right.
A lot of people, especially talk radio people, don't like debit cards. Myself personally, I do. A lot of the competition as far as the church seminar business that we have, they use the envelope budgeting system, but I'm not very high on that either. So let's talk about debit cards.
Right. I just find we have more, it seems like, more problems with it than checks, but they're just so much easier nowadays than checks.
Well, now, I want you to consider seriously opening up the other account, and on that on that account, you will not have any debit cards or any check cards or any ATM cards or anything.
So it's basically you can't touch that account.
You can't touch it at all. Okay.
Right.
And then from there, all right, what you want to do then is you want to start mapping out, and if you will email me at steve@financialframeworkseminar.com. That's Steve.
Okay.
Okay. And I will send you the paper version of the budgeting system that's used in the seminar.
Okay? Right, right.
But by splitting up the money and by putting your fixed bill money out of reach, okay, then it's gonna actually help you in managing your debit card usage.
Right.
All right, now.
A lot of times the debit cards, the money will come out, you know, and then you go negative, and then it's just a downward spiral from there.
Right, and it's $35 or whatever they charge on
those.
Yeah, well, and see, the banks will do this, and they will actually, they'll restack, and they won't even prioritize as far as when they come in. They'll stack it to their advantage. Mm-hmm. And so,
okay.
But if you'll split the money up, first off, you're going to have less money to have to worry about budgeting. Okay, now, when you and I guess your husband, when y'all have less money in that Budget B account, it's going to be easier for you to track. It's going to be easier for you to manage. Okay. And if you'll start running on the budget as far as I'm going to send you and the smaller amount, you will see that you will actually be able to track that. Now, see, a lot of people will use a credit card, but if a person has any discipline problem at all and can't pay it off every month, then that is a disaster.
Right. We don't have any more credit card debt, but the check card, like I said, sometimes can become a problem, you know, when you spend more, I guess, obviously, than you have in there.
Well, it's
tracking the transactions, you know, because we have two bank accounts now, but the one bank, it comes out right away, whereas the next bank, it may take 4 or 5 days, you know, then... You go spend something else, and I guess it's just keeping up with it.
Well, I would probably then consider opening up the other checking account with the one that actually does the transactions faster.
Right.
Okay, and if you will split this money up, I'm going to tell you, my youngest daughter works for Financial Framework, and She's been around the system for years, and she told me, she said, Dad, I'll tell you what. She said, that splitting that money up, and that was one of the smartest things you've ever talked about.
And, right. It's the simplest things like that that I guess we don't think of that, you know, you could just do to help yourself out.
But, but you'll be surprised how that works. And I'll tell you something, too. I'll send you a fact finder, too. And I'll donate a blueprint to you so that you can build. Because if you've got a mortgage and some car payments.
Mortgage, no car notes, just the mortgage.
Just the mortgage. And what we'll do then is we'll just show you, if you'll put another $200, $300 a month on that mortgage, what it'll do for you.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. And let's see, you've got my email address, so you email me, and I'll get it out tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barfield.
Thank you, Dana.
That was a good call, and you know, that's a good point about the check card, debit card, ATM card, whatever you call it. I know a lot of people that that I went to school with would just use their debit card like a credit card and would over-withdraw their checking account.
Well, it's because they don't manage their money.
And, exactly. Yeah, and but the thing is, nobody teaches you how to manage your money.
Right, that's what we're trying to do.
And
here.
I learned it the hard way. I got a debit card right out of high school, and... Woo, you know. Well, and I opened it up myself, and I blame myself on getting myself into that. But once I got out of it, I learned a very important lesson, and that is, you can't just spend money like it's just like it magically appears. It doesn't.
But see, the debit card is the lesser of all the evils, because
at least you're spending money that you have.
Well, and it's not on credit cards, which
right.
I'm totally against. And then, like I said, the oldest system now that's being used is the envelope budgeting system, where you put money into envelopes, you know, after you're paid. And my wife, the lady that cuts her hair over in Dallas, mm-hmm. she had gone to one of the seminars, and she had her money in the envelopes, and she had her purse stolen out of the car.
Oof.
Okay. So she lost all of her bill money and all of her grocery money and everything else.
Goodness.
So, you know, the debit cards are the lesser of the evils, and you just have to track it. And if you split that money up, like Dana and I were just talking about, you'll have less to manage, and it'll make it easier for you to stay on top of those debit card purchases.
And, you know, having a debit card, it's better than a credit card, but at the same time, you have to be aware of how much money that you have so you don't overdraft like that. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. As far as breaking up into two separate accounts, one with a debit card and one that you have to... Now, would you want to link those two accounts together?
No,
and you would
no,
not want to do that?
Absolutely not.
Do not link them together.
No, you have them totally separate, and you set those accounts up so that your fixed bills, meaning the bills can be paid off,
right,
goes into what we call budget A.
Uh-huh.
Okay, everything else goes into budget B, which is lifestyle. That's where you tithe. That's where you
right.
do all the things you're going to go on forever. Okay, now on the budget A account, you have no debit card, no ATM card. You have checks, and the checks stay at home, because truthfully, it's not smart now for a woman to carry checks even in her purse.
Right. Now, do you suggest paying bills with a debit card or paying them with check?
Well, either one.
Either
and,
one.
Well, if you could pay them with a debit card, that goes against the budget A deal, though. So instead of using a debit card, you pay them online.
Pay them,
okay,
yeah.
From the budget A checking
and you can
account.
Use, and you can use your checking. You can use pay by check online to do that
right,
with your budget A account.
Right,
so
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, I never really had thought about that, but now that you mention it, it does make good sense to do that. Coming up in the next half hour of the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield, we're going to talk a little bit about consumer credit counseling. I know we talked a little bit about that before we came on the air today, and how many really fraudulent, and you hear it all the time on the radio, on TV, of these agencies that are trying to get you to sign on with what they're doing, and they're saying, you know, we'll reduce your debt by whatever, or consolidation or whatever. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but we got to break away. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield here on WGAA Radio. Call us toll-free at 800-732-6458. That's 800-732-6458 for your financial questions about debt, about anything. Debt is your specialty. That's one thing that that you always talk about is get out of debt.
Debt and retirement.
Retirement.
That's the specialty.
And being in debt and going into retirement is definitely not something you want to do, right?
Oil and water.
Yes, oil and water does
not mix.
But we invite you to give us a call. Once again, our number is 800-732-6458, toll free. And while we're waiting for some calls to come in, actually, we have a call coming in right now. How about that? Let's go to line two and see who's on. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hey, they were having a preview meeting last Saturday.
Yes, ma'am.
About the seminar.
Yes, ma'am.
And I didn't get to go, but when is it going to be?
Ma'am, it's going to be, there's going to be another one Sunday at 3 p.m.
Is that another preview? Or
Yes, ma'am, another preview meeting Sunday at 3 p.m. And I think they're going to have food also.
Is that at?
That's Rolling Hills Baptist Church.
Rolling Hills. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Yeah, and that preview meeting will be this Sunday
at 3 o'clock
at Rolling Hills Baptist Church. Now, we were talking about that earlier of some of the locations that you're going to be at. You're going to be at Rolling Hills Baptist Church. And, of course, the contact person is Jason Slaughter.
Jason Slaughter.
And, of course, you can look up Cedar Valley Communications, and you can get a hold of Jason Slaughter. Also, Cedartown Church of God on West Avenue, they're also going to be holding a financial framework seminar. So,
And at the end of the show here, I'll actually give the contact numbers out. How about that?
We'll do that. Sounds good. And if you can't make it to either one of the seminars in Cedartown, you can go to the one in Dallas, which is at
Fortified
Hills Church.
Right.
And that's on Highway 120 going on the Marietta Highway. So, okay. Steve, Consumer Credit Counseling Services. Now, credit counseling services per se, are there any that are legitimate? Because you hear so much about, you mentioned in your opening about how some of these counseling services or quote-unquote counseling services say, oh, just don't pay your bills, you know, it'll be okay. Or don't pay your mortgage, wait 3 or 4 months and don't pay your mortgage and we'll take care of it. That is not legitimate.
Well, first off, that should be almost the last thing you try before bankruptcy. A lot of people will actually start having trouble with their finances running a little bit late, and they just panic, and they'll call these places that advertise on TV all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nonprofits, and what they're able to do is they're able to negotiate with the credit card companies to lower the interest rates and payments, possibly. But the way they work is they will charge you a fee. And they also make money from the credit card companies on the back end. So really and truly, they're kind of like a glorified collection agency is what they are.
And one way or the other, they're going to get the money from you.
Well, and technically you're supposed to be about 3 months behind on your bills before they can deal with you. And we have heard a lot of reports where they will actually, like you were talking about earlier, they will tell you not to pay your bills for 3 months so that you qualify for dealing with them.
But that is so dangerous, especially if you're talking about a mortgage here, because you could lose your home in 3 months.
Well, you should never, ever, ever not pay your mortgage. Just like, you know, in my opening remarks, and we're talking about that kind of stuff. You always make your mortgage payment first. I mean, I don't care what kind of debts you have. You pay your mortgage first, and you pay your car second. Something
to
get.
Got to have a place to live.
That's exactly right.
That's the most important thing, is having a place to live. Because if you don't have a place to live, you know, what are you going to do? You have to have a place to live. And that's a good point about the mortgages. And if anybody ever says, oh, just don't pay your mortgage for 3 months, that should be a red flag right there.
You should run. You should run.
Run from that.
And if I were ever going to recommend a consumer credit company, it would be Consumer Credit Counseling Service, which is CCCS. But I'm not actually recommending them. I think that most of the time, people can do this and manage this on their own. If they use a nonprofit like we're talking about, it hits the credit report and hits it real hard. In fact, in a lot of cases, it hits it worse than the bankruptcy.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. You know, that should be a last resort.
I mean, very last.
To bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Now, what does bankruptcy, for somebody who may not have ever been through bankruptcy or know much about bankruptcy, what does bankruptcy do to you as far as your credit, and what does it accomplish? Does it like completely wipe your slate clean, or what does bankruptcy do for somebody who may not know much about it?
Well, there's different types of bankruptcies. You know, we got
Chapter 11. I know.
I've heard. And sevens, and there's several different versions of bankruptcies. But bankruptcy should be the very, very last thing that a person would do. But going back to comparing a bankruptcy to using a nonprofit, a bankruptcy, a lot of times you can buy things, a house, within 2 or 3 years after you file.
Yeah.
And if you use a consumer credit counseling service type company, chances are it may be longer than that. So
You know, I would
probably. So really, either one of them are not really that.
They're not
really an option that you really want to pursue unless it's your absolute last resort.
No, and just like I said in my opening comments, you know, you can actually call these credit card companies and talk to them yourself and let them know
sure.
you're in trouble and kind of do your own negotiating is the point there. Let me get to an email real quick that's on retirement. This is from Ronnie, and he's talking about enjoying listening to the show, and his company is offering 401ks and matches up to 5%. And the question is, would it be a good idea for us to use this as one of our retirement vehicles? Well, first off, thanks for the email. And I like what you said, Ronnie, about one of my retirement vehicles. A lot of people really and truly
notice he didn't say the retirement.
And it's amazing that he didn't, because a lot of us are even relying on Social Security. They're thinking Social Security is going to be their retirement. And
Social Security is not going to last. It's nearly broke right now, or it is broke.
Well, mathematically, it is broke. So Social Security should be there just in case. But now to get to his email,
yeah.
I would definitely participate. I like 401ks to the point where they're almost like a forced savings plan. The money's gone out of your check before you see it, and I would definitely try to put in as much as they're matching. Now, past that, I would probably use, you know, other vehicles, because a 401k is technically, you know, part of the company, and the company can actually pay their bills out of it. So what I try to do is I try to put people in control of their retirement, of getting out of debt. I try to put things so that nobody else can mess with their stuff except for them, and that's very, very important. So to answer your question, Ronnie, I would definitely match up 5%, put all I could put in that they match, and then once again, use other vehicles for the rest of your retirement planning. And if you need any help with that, email me.
Now, as far as the 401ks, when we had the initial downturn in the economy, a lot of people lost a lot of money in their 401ks.
Well, it's not just that, see, but you know, you think about your Enrons and Eastern Airlines, and when your money's tied in with a company like that, and if the company was to go belly up or need the money,
your 401k is gone.
That's why I'm all for people actually owning and controlling their money and what they do with it. So
a 401k is okay as long as that's not your only.
It shouldn't be.
Should not be your only nest egg.
Right.
Would be the right word to
say. And you know, in our seminar and in our planning, becoming debt free as fast as possible is the key to actually retiring anyway, because if you've got like in the earlier call talking to Dana, and I said if you had $4,000 a month going in and $2,000 a month going toward your fixed debts, you get those fixed debts paid off, including the mortgage, and now all $2,000 go into savings every month, and you'd be surprised how much money that would be.
That'll build up real quick.
It would be a lot of money over time. But Ronnie, match it. Put as much as you can put in. That's one thing that America has got to get back to doing, is saving money. We've got to get back to a cash society and get rid of credit cards. Every time we can do this, we need to do this.
All right, well, we need to take a commercial break. More of the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield after this short break. Let's go to our phone lines now. We have Fred on the line. Fred, you're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hey, I have a question for Mr. Barfield. You're talking about 401ks.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they're really, are they safe? You were talking about, you know, the company, they're owned by the company, but in the long run, do you think that, the Congress can turn around and pass some legislation to get their hands on the money?
Fred, you're trying to get me in trouble, buddy. and to be honest with you, I really don't trust, you know, the government very much. And I don't care really who's in power, the Democrats or Republicans. I don't trust the government. I don't know what the government might do, but the 401k is the best place right now for people to use, because of it being kind of like I said, a forced savings plan, where the money leaves, you know, without you having to see it or mess with it, because that's the problem. If it has to go through our hands, then we're not going to save it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But, you know, I would do as much, you know, in your 401k if you have the opportunity, as you can, you know, as far as what they match anyway. I wouldn't do anything over what they don't match. And I would use other vehicles.
All right. Well, and, you know, they do give you some options on how to set up your account with a 401k. Do you recommend doing it in some sort of a stock-based?
Well, no. Right now, I really, it doesn't matter how old you are, I would go as conservative as I could. I would just be as conservative as I can, because right now, in my opinion, and I know a lot of people might disagree with this, but the stock market is, it looks fake to me, because 80% or more of the money that's going in the stock market now is actually the financial institutions themselves, which, you know, it doesn't paint a pretty good picture. And I honestly think that we're in for a rough ride over the next couple of years at the least. I think that the market, once again, is not correct, and I think once it corrects, it's going to really hurt more people. Because I just heard this morning that the Georgia unemployment is 10.4, and Friday they're supposed to come out with a national unemployment average, and I would think it's going to be more than 10%. And if you think about the consumer credit, I mean, the consumer debt, you know, you've got your credit card debt.
Well,
got,
on top of the consumer debt right now, with Congress delaying the reinstatement of unemployment benefits for almost a million people. Things can't be as good as they're trying to let us think they are.
No, and so I would just be very conservative in my picks in the 401k. And this is a message for the other listeners that have 401ks, is I would go to the personnel managers or whoever you have to talk to, or go online or whatever you need to do, and I would be as conservative as I can, because I have built calculators and I can prove where a good steady return on savings can really and truly outdo pretty much anything. So anyway,
you mean like a guaranteed rate?
Yeah, or you know, just a place where you can't lose. And if you'll send me an email, which it's steve@financialframeworkseminar.com. That's steve@financialframeworkseminar.com. I'll help you with some places that you can go to actually save money safely, but also still have the same potential for growth.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, Mr. Barfield, thank you.
Well, thank you.
A good call, Fred. We appreciate that.
Well, let's talk just a minute, Andrew. We're working on launching three different systems for children and money that will go with our seminar system. And working on that stuff, it brings back the importance of just how imperative it is for us to teach our children about money. Now, the problem is a lot of us ourselves don't know a lot about money, so that's, you know, that's another problem.
You
got
to teach yourselves and then teach your kid.
Well,
your kids are going to do what you're going to do.
Well, and that was what I was fixing to say. If your children, they're going to be about as good with money as you are. And if you're doing good, then I'm sure you can figure out a way to show them how to do good. But if you're not good with money, then you're going to wind up creating more people that you love are going to be in the same situation. Now, I've got grandkids, and I'm using the grandkids, my oldest ones, to help me kind of look at the system that's being created to teach these kids about money. And let me give you a couple of exercises that you should think about. It's very important that we teach our children to work hard, and when they work, to be the best that they can be when they work. And a quick little story, I had two of my grandsons, Jay and Josh, and they were at my house, and our backyard, it just grows rocks, and I'm sure a lot of y'all can relate to that.
Yep.
And the situation was where we were back there working in the yard, and we had buckets, and I told Jay and Josh that I would pay them to help us pick up the rocks in the backyard. Now, I realized it wasn't necessary. They would have done it without pay, but I was actually trying to see just how it would work out with these little guys. There's about 2 years difference in their age, and actually 3 years difference in their age. And what happened was, after about an hour and a half, Jay, the oldest one, he had collected just several buckets of rocks. I had watched the younger one, Josh, I had watched him just kind of play around a little bit, and he had about a half a bucket. Well, when it come time to pay for their work and their efforts, I handed Jay a $20 bill, and I handed Josh a $5 bill. Well, Josh, the young grandson of mine, he looked at me and kind of confused, well, why does he get more than I get? And the point was because he worked. He did better. He put more effort out. He actually had better results than you did. And I went and I showed him the buckets and the pile. And I said, mm-hmm. You see this pile?
Mm-hmm.
This pile, you're paid more for this pile than this pile.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think about that, Josh? He said, well, I'm going to pick up as much as he does next time. Okay.
There you go. Lesson taught.
Lesson taught.
And you know, it's funny you say that because you see it so much more today how mediocrity is accepted as
The norm.
The norm.
Yep.
And so many people that would normally go the extra mile to get the job done or do what they're supposed to do, it's kind of disheartening for them to see, I guess their attitude now is, you know, what am I doing this for?
Well, they should do it for themselves. They should do it for God, their family, their respect.
Absolutely.
But that's just not the way it works. Now, another little lesson, and this is a real good one. If you have children or grandchildren that are 7, 8, 10, 12, plan a day or take one of the days you've got coming up this spring, maybe when they do the spring breaks and things, and talk to them and explain to them and come up with a dollar amount. Let's just say you were going to go to Six Flags. All right, and let's say that you had three kids and a husband and wife going. All right, then let's come up with an amount of money, let's say $150. For this trip, and this would include tickets, it would include gas. Of course, I don't know how much it costs to get in Six Flags, but let's assume that the tickets were $25 a piece, which that doesn't add up anyway already. I'm already over my amount. But what I'm trying to say is come up with a trip, come up with a dollar amount in cash, and then you let the oldest child or one of the responsible children be in charge of the money. And don't physically give them the money. Keep a little notepad with you and start off with $100, $150, or whatever the case may be. And then as monies are being spent, as you buy gasoline for the trip or if you stop for breakfast, every dollar that's spent, you list it in his little book. And then before you know it, the child will become aware of how money is spent and how money is supposed to last. And then find a situation where you can actually ask for something and ask that child if you could buy something. And let that child look at that tablet or look at those numbers and see if it would make sense or not, and have that child tell you no. What I'm going to do, I think, next week, I think I'm going to elaborate on some of this stuff and kind of go over it in detail because yeah. I think people will be able to do that.
Sure, and I think that's a great idea. Start young and then get them to have that attitude to start with.
Right.
And then you're fine. We'll return with more of the Financial Framework Show in just a moment.
We had some great questions today, and I hope that I was able to help you with important information that will have a definite impact on your lives and will put you in a position to win in life. I can't save America from debt myself. I need everyone who will participate to help me with this most important quest. Encourage your friends and relatives to listen to the show and be a part of Saving America. So for the listeners in the Cedar Town and surrounding areas, the Rolling Hills Baptist Church is putting on the Financial Framework Seminar. Now, the contact person is Jason Slaughter, and his phone number is 770-639-1754. Again, Jason's number is 770-639-1754. Call Jason if you have any questions about this. Now, there's another church that's located in Cedar Town area that's also going to host a seminar. This is the Cedar Town Church of God. It'll have its first preview meeting on Sunday evening, March the 14th at 5:30 p.m. The Fortified Hills Baptist Church off 120, which is in Dallas, is also hosting the Financial Framework Seminar. The contact person for the Fortified Hills Seminar is Mark Fricks. His number is 678-363-7267. Again, his number is 678-363-7267. I honestly feel this could be the most important financial decision you could ever make. You see, for more than 15 years, I've been on this mission, and I have seen and heard many amazing testimonies. And I surely hope that you'll add your story to those memories. We have put the information on the website. You can find it at the bottom of the main page under the church registration tab. Find a church in your area and attend a Financial Framework preview meeting. A preview meeting, once again, will last about 30 minutes, and you'll be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. The Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that can make your quest to become debt-free much, much easier. You can also go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com.
www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. The average family, once again, you've heard me say this before, becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending their same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff or suffer any more than you're already suffering. Being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious about saving America from debt than we are. And I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide, tithing is down between 20 and 30%. I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations, they want to give, and they want to give all they can. It's a budget and a debt issue. And unless you address the problem, unless you hit it right on the head, unless you fix it, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations, they need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. Once this happens, your churches will be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website, because if you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. And as you will hear me often say, even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. And always pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families, who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern day heroes, and they should be treated that way. Please always keep them in your prayers. Now, if you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you'll see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen to whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch a Financial Framework show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready and let's talk them over. Next week will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Tune in again next week to learn more practical solutions that will put you in control of your finances and show you how to build a strong and secure financial house.